Hello, Internet. Welcome to episode 81 of the Assorted Calibers podcast, the Second Amendment podcast that is a little bit for everyone. I'm Weird Beard, and tonight we have another ACP roundtable. And of course, as usual, is joining me the lovely, the wonderful, the amazing hostess, Erin Paulette.
Hello, people, Erin. On the internet are wrong and stupid, and I cannot slap sense into them. Believe me, I've tried.
True words have never been said. Also, the lovely hostess who looks adorable in his dress, Oddball.
He didn't screw up the intro. I'm scared.
And with his beautiful pigtails shining in the sunlight, David.
Don't forget to leave a plate of 32 French long out for Gun Jesus, kids.
Well played.
I figure as the Jew of the group, I'm the one that really can say that.
Oh, goy.
On a holiday note, I am not one for seasonal decoration. I don't like the idea of going up into the attic and pulling out boxes just to decorate stuff. It's bad enough getting the tree up and all that sort of things. I'm not going to get like lights to hang on the outside of the
house.
Preach, brother. Yeah. And so people sometimes ask, hey, how come you don't have any Christmas lights up? And I just go, oh, we're Jewish. And the people go, really? And I'm like, no.
Where is your menorah then?
That's true.
They make a T-Rex menorah.
Crazy nights.
Actually, some Jewish friends of mine, they have a younger son who has Down syndrome, and every time they light the menorah, he blows out the candle and sings Happy Birthday. And actually, we were at a birthday party, and he got to blow. I'm trying to remember if it was his birthday party or if it was his brother's. I'm not sure, but we were at a birthday party with him, and he finally did get to blow out the candle, and it was actually time to blow out. It was a candle you could blow out, and he was very pleased with himself.
Good.
Okay, so yeah, one of the things you talked about was having holiday gift ideas, and I couldn't come up with anything, and I have one, and it ties in absolutely perfectly to what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. And let me see if I can get the thing to post from Amazon.
Amazon.
And of course, it won't do the picture, but it is a dinosaur menorah. It's a T-Rex menorah.
Very nice.
I've seen several variations of that with different dinosaurs over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't have one.
Well, see, why don't you? You need to have one for the holidays.
Because I was told we only need so many menorahs and we have that many.
Well, you should maybe sell one of the other ones to get a dinosaur menorah.
Or have an accident.
See, here's the thing is, one of the menorahs came from a decommissioned synagogue. Mm. I was chosen as its caretaker. And one of them I've had since I was a child. Two of them, my mother gave me, one of which she bought in Israel. So,
okay, easy solution.
I can't kill any of those.
Easy solution. You don't buy them. Someone else buys the dinosaur menorah for you. It's a gift. You can't get rid of a gift.
Now I just need to find someone to buy me a dinosaur menorah or a fire truck menorah.
You know, it's like $50. That's outside my price range. Although I suppose we could all crowdfund you one.
If people are going to crowdfund me something, I'd rather it be something else.
By the way, I posted the spaceship menorah.
Oh, is that maybe the one I just
it's like
now
a space
posted?
Shuttle.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we both saw that one.
And I posted the fire truck menorah.
What is it with you and fire trucks?
I was a firefighter.
All right.
I rode on them. I pulled hose off them and packed it back on. And
yeah, he packed it.
Yeah, there's a lot of hose packing going on. Wait, no, this one's the best one yet.
Okay, don't leave us hanging.
No, just like Epstein.
Oh god. Have you seen that with the this ornament didn't hang itself? Ceramic yep. cat design. Monica Minora.
Isn't that one the best one, Oddball?
It is.
It's a menorah of kitties. They also have a donut menorah.
There's also, I saw a bagel one.
Yep, the bagel menorah. The train menorah. Ah, they've got a general first responders with an ambulance, a fire truck, and a police car. A Dachshund menorah.
I'm not
cupcake menorah.
I am not seeing any unicorn menorahs, and this bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Caterpillar menorah. Or even just a My Little Pony menorah.
Well, yeah.
Or they've got a Jesus soccer menorah for crying out loud. They've got a soccer menorah. They should have a racetrack menorah. Latke pan menorah.
What does a latke pan look like?
I don't know. I just always either cook them on the stovetop in a cast iron pan.
Yeah.
Or in the oven. Okay, the dreidel menorah is adorable. They've got a pirate ship menorah.
They've got a mug with a unicorn with a menorah for a horn. And that needs to be the menorah.
Yeah.
Right?
Or actually, I saw the Dachshund menorah, and I assumed that it was a unicorn menorah just because that last candle was kind of sticking right out of its forehead.
The last candle is called the Shamash. It's used to light the other candles.
Okay.
There, a little bit of education for everyone listening.
I did not know that. I just know about the lamp burning for 8 days.
And... Yeah, thank you, David, for shamashing that in there.
Whoa! That's awesome, Aaron.
Boy.
Boy, oh, yeah, that yeah. is the proper response.
Oh, that
sugar
was right for Xander.
Hi, Xander. We love you.
If you're listening, feel free to join in.
So we're going to go over our gift ideas. I was kind of thinking about talking about the Grimm stuff first and then living it up with holiday stuff.
Well, I mean, see, that was the thing. I can't think of anything else. It's been a couple of weeks. You know, that's really all I can say. It's been some weeks. And
oh, yes.
Black Friday. I do not go shopping, but Black Friday is when I indulge my mother and I put up the metric fuck ton of lights and decorations and other things. And then I like to write my blue collar prepping post about cool Black Friday prepping deals. And I couldn't find a thing. Nothing. I mean, okay, you've got your typical 20-30% whatever, but there was nothing like, this is really cool. I didn't find anything cool. And that is deeply distressing to me. Nothing cool on Black Friday at all.
They had the usual stuff, but they didn't have special Black Friday deals on it.
Yeah, and so okay.
Blade HQ sent me all sorts of nifty stuff because I spent money on Black Friday.
I got a whole collection of emails from Smoky Mountain Knife Works because you talked me into buying those knives from them.
I would say I'm sorry, but
you're not.
No, I'm not.
And of course, while I was editing the little bonus episode that just went up before we started recording this, my daughter was playing with my one of my flashlights that came as one of my adult Happy Meal toys from Blade HQ. I do love Blade HQ. Yeah.
Okay, so she was playing with it, and
she's shining it in my eyes because my God,
how bright is that light?
I mean, it's not a super duper bright one, but at that range, it doesn't really matter.
So it's not, what do they call that? Compliance level illumination.
No. It's just this afternoon, it has been a day because interesting enough, I think on Thanksgiving, everybody but me got sick. And so my wife.
So what you're saying is you poisoned everybody.
Yeah, that would make me really dumb because my wife and I were on vacation and luckily she got to convalesce from her sickness in tropical paradise, which actually did quite well. And she actually recovered more or less pretty well, but it kept us from going snorkeling. But that's all right, because really we were just there to relax and have a good time, and we relaxed and had a good time. But yeah, my daughter got sick too while we were away, and she is still just getting over it. And she's at the point where she's no longer miserable, but she's still not feeling great, which means she's being miserable. And so she's just up in my grill from the moment we got home from school today. And of course, then there's just that magic thing that she can only do is when I put a plate of breakfast down at my spot at the table, that's when she suddenly decides that she's hungry for breakfast and needs me to help her.
Yeah.
I say, honey, I'm making breakfast. Would you like me to make you something? No, thank you. I'm not hungry yet.
Oh, but what you made looks delicious.
So why don't you just bow to the inevitable and make her something?
Because then I will make the wrong thing and then it will cause rage. She asked for some peanut butter toast. And so she actually specifically said she wanted a peanut butter toast sandwich. And then she pulled it apart when it got to her plate. And so it was only peanut butter on one side and that invoked rage.
Okay.
And then before I could spread peanut butter on the other side, she decided that, oh, I can just take the piece that doesn't have peanut butter on it and dip it in maple syrup.
Okay.
This is my life.
See, not being a parent, I legitimately don't know if your kid has issues or if this is just normal kid weirdness.
This is normal kid weirdness.
Are you certain?
If it persists, how old is she now?
She's six.
Yeah, that's pretty normal kid weirdness. I don't have children, but I've seen enough of them at that age.
And she got it from my wife. My wife is I am a roll with the punches sort of guy. My wife is a very particular lady. She knows what she wants. She knows when she wants it and all that. My daughter has all of that. She just has not learned to express that or learn to know that, you know what? Sometimes you're just being particular for the sake of being particular, and maybe you should roll with the punches.
Yeah. Unless someone actually punches you and then gloves off.
Well, I mean, then you should roll with that one and then give them all that they've got and go for the rear naked choke. Or actually, at the same time, I'm editing the show. And while the show is rendering, I was just kind of clicking around on in my browser, and she sees YouTube up. And she goes, oh, can I have the video of the two ladies fighting? And so I pulled up the Bellator MMA YouTube channel, and she saw a highlight reel of Alimale McFarland, who's I think the ladies middleweight champion. I don't know, whatever it is, she's a scrappy lady. And it ended with a fight where she ended up landing an elbow in the woman's forehead and split it wide the heck open, and it started gushing. And my daughter was just looking transfixed and horrified. And I'm like, no, don't worry, sweetie. It's a scalp wound. They bleed a lot. She's actually okay. And they ended up calling the fight just because the wound was just too bad to continue. And you could tell the lady with the hole in her forehead was ticked off because she's like, no, I'm still good. And I'm still going strong. It's just blood. I'll make more. And then she's just like,
until you run out.
Yeah. And when she realized that, no, she's not bleeding to death and she's going to be okay, she's like, all right, I don't want to see it again. Yeah, I got you on that. I definitely relate to Dexter Morgan on his fascination with blood. I remember actually standing on the deck of a fishing boat, and I was collecting ear bones from codfish. And
like
I remember,
you do.
Yeah, it's a sample thing. They fish lay down a new layer of their ear stones at a regular basis. I don't know if it's every year or all that, but you can actually dye them and cut them, and then you can tell the age of the fish. And so everyone would have a little packet. It would be the length, the weight, and the ear bones of the fish. And I would send in 100 of them every trip. And so I was collecting. We had a good charge of cod, and so I just said, "All right, I'm going to collect some ear bones." And so I'm just sitting there plucking away. And next thing you know, I look down at the deck and realize I'm just in this huge sea of red. And I'm like, "This is pretty cool."
As long as it's not yours, right?
Exactly. But yeah, speaking of gory awfulness, all right. First up, Let's start with the most interesting of all of them, in the fact that Aaron changed the picture for the Facebook group. Thank you, Aaron.
Yes.
Can you please tell the people that might not have been on the Facebook group? And by the way, if you're not on the Facebook group, if you don't have a Facebook account, don't create one on our account. I mean, come on, it's garbage. But at the same time, if you got a Facebook thing, look us up. It's a pretty happening place.
Like, totally, dudes.
Yeah. So, but Aaron, tell us about when it, you'll know it's the right one when you see.
I was actually I was trying to think up the heraldic terms for it.
This looks like a John for Jobs or Sean Sorrentino.
Oh God, yes.
He's yelling at his phone right now.
Something like
wherever he is, his head just perked up and he's looking around.
You know, even better is actually right now in the future, my phone is beeping with a text message from Sean. He likes to text me as he's listening to the show.
Okay, so it's something like a sable narwhal. I don't remember the term for what it is when it's just resting. With the inscription. Right, I screwed it up. So it's a yellow field with the black silhouette of a narwhal on it, with the horn pointing to the viewer's left. And it is captioned "Stay strapped or get clapped."
I love it.
Yes. And by the way, I did look, and there are a couple of resin or whatever narwhal tusks that you can buy, but they're like for oceanography class, and they're like $500 a piece.
Huh. Like,
I am not buying one of those to make a narwhal tusk bayonet for my AR.
Oh God, that would be awesome.
I want to do it. Somebody posted up a picture and I was like, yes, this needs to happen.
Oh my God, there's actually a category called narwhals in heraldry.
Really?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're unicorns of the sea.
That's
true.
Okay, there's really not much about it, but it is a category in Wikipedia. Oh, it's on the coat of arms of the Northwest Territories. Interesting. Hmm.
But either way, for those that were living under a rock, or maybe you just missed it, there was a terrorist, and I'm just going to straight up and call him a terrorist because he was a convicted terrorist, and
he's now a good terrorist.
Yes,
he was out on day release.
No. That was the murderer.
That was the murderer.
Oh, don't.
This is England.
So had he been paroled? Am I confusing the two? Or
yeah, he was.
No, well,
I think you're conflating the two.
He was out on parole. This was some sort of event that was talking about, like, it was actually a meeting that was it was like a public outreach group about the UK's soft on crime
philosophy. Right, and the day release murderer was at this event talking about basically criminal rehabilitation. When the attack occurred,
the terrorist was actually there as a guest. Like he didn't just happen to be there. Like he was actually.
Oh, that part I hadn't heard.
Yeah, he was there as a way to show, like, yeah, look at me, I'm a terrorist, and I was in prison, and now I'm free, and it's all good. And then he went all Aloha snack bar and started stabbing people, and
when the convicted terrorist gets stabby, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, he started stabbing people. And so I don't know who had what. I know it was the murderer grabbed a fire extinguisher
because that's what you do when you have no other weapons. And the Polish chef grabbed the narwhal tusk from over the bar.
Yeah, this was at a fishmonger's. And so they had a narwhal tusk as an ornament on the wall.
But an actual narwhal tusk that had been grandfathered in. When certain regulations were passed.
Yeah. And so the Polish chef done skewered the guy with the narwhal tusk while the murderer hosed him down with the fire extinguisher.
And there was another bystander who did something. I don't really know what, but there was a third person involved.
The third person grabbed the knife and carried it away, which worked out just fine for him, but overall is a stupid move. You could kick the knife or throw the knife or get the knife away from him. That is a good move, but he literally just picked up the knife and just kind of started walking away with it because he just didn't really know what to do because England.
Yes.
It's kind of a minor miracle he didn't get arrested for carrying the knife.
Oi, you got a license for that permit?
Pretty much.
License for that knife, but yeah.
So the police show up and this guy's already prone down, and when the police get to him, they realize underneath his quote there was a quote unquote suicide vest. I don't know. Has anyone heard if it was an actual suicide vest and it just didn't work?
It was a fake suicide vest.
Okay, so it's a fake suicide vest, but you know what? Just like the guy that points the airsoft gun with the orange tip removed at your face, and then they did exactly what you would do in that situation, which is they put one in his head.
More than one.
Yeah, a few.
Yeah, and now the officers, I heard, I don't know if this is factual or apocryphal, but I heard that the officers were required to go to some type of internal sensitivity therapy or something like that.
Now, I heard something very similar. I did not hear it was an officer, but it was somebody who was stabbed. Now, it's entirely possible that an officer was stabbed, but the point is...
I heard that actually that was the guy who got stabbed was the Polish chef with the narwhal tusk, I thought.
But what I heard was the person who was the victim now has to attend training in order so that he doesn't become radicalized against Muslims.
Right.
Yeah, and so once again, the victim is being treated as a perpetrator because, well, he was stabbed by a Muslim. Therefore, he's very obviously, I guess, going to become anti-Muslim. And so we can't have that. So we're going to have him go to sensitivity training.
Well, I know that there was a completely separate story from a completely different terrorist that started stabbing.
Yes, there was a previous attack of a stabby terrorist on London Bridge.
And and this one guy hops out and yells the name of his favorite football team.
This is Millwall.
Yes, exactly. and beat the tar out of the terrorist. And then the police showed up and took him away and locked him up and then let him go shortly thereafter. Because evidently that's how their legal system works.
I mean, it might have been
Frigg.
This is Millwall, but you get the idea. Yes. He was a British soccer hooligan using his powers for justice.
Yes. And but he is definitely undergoing training, sensitivity training, so that he does not get radicalized. I've said it before and I'm pretty much justified in it that yes, in England, and now in New Zealand, they are executing the guns and they are letting the criminals free. So
yeah,
I'm very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
In other terrorist news, this one
is one way to put it.
Yeah, this one comes from is it Pensacola?
Yes.
No, oh, okay. We're talking about the one in Florida. Great. I studied up on this. No, it wasn't Pensacola. It was in Broward County. Yes, that Broward County.
Well, that there was the military base attack, which I thought was Pensacola.
Oh.
And there was the UPS truck shooting, which was in Broward.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
but let Aaron, you take the lead on Broward.
Fine. Yeah. Ah. All right. So. Here's the thing, and I will admit I am not an expert on this, but I have been following it. So, what you need to know is this. There were two people who, I believe, robbed a jewelry store, and then, as they tried to get away, hijacked a UPS truck. Now, the crime started in Miami-Dade County. By the time the shooting began, they were already one county north in Broward County. And I find that this is very interesting for a couple of reasons. I can't yet figure out which county officer did the shooting. Either way, it doesn't look good, but I'll get to that in a minute. So for people who were under a rock, the two thieves hijacked a UPS truck and drove off. Now,
Taking the driver hostage.
Taking the driver hostage. Yes. Now, there were two very important points you need to know here. One, all UPS trucks have GPS tracking chips on them. Two, they had a helicopter on this truck from pretty close to the beginning. Okay, this thing cannot get away. There is a GPS tracker on it and a helicopter following it, and it's a big brown truck. You are not likely to lose this thing. So
it's Broward PD. I wouldn't put it past.
Yeah. So they follow it, and then they catch up to it in traffic. There are literally other cars boxing it in, and so this is where which police department it is kind of important, because if it's Broward County, well, that's just another screw up in a long, long string of screw ups. In which case, I think it's time to do what the Romans would do and literally decimate the Broward County police, the sheriff's department. No, they are bad. They are rotten. An example needs to be made.
May I define for our listeners what decimation actually literally means?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. During the Roman imperial era, when a century, 100 men, was determined to have failed in battle in some spectacular way, usually like cowardice or something.
Cowardice or desertion, yes.
Yeah. The legion would be lined up, and one man out of 10 would be chosen at random. And so you have 10 men out of 100, and the remaining 90 men would be required to beat them to death with metal rods. Therefore, 1 in 10 was dead, hence decimation.
I'm actually kind of lenient. I wouldn't actually call for the death of these officers, but definitely just, hey, I'm not saying I oppose it either. I'm just saying I'm not calling for it. But, you know, definitely let's strip them of their, you know, you will never work in law enforcement again. You're out. Boom. And
you're
I don't
more
know.
Than welcome to secure any malls that are in the region to your heart's content.
Yeah.
As long as you're unarmed.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we need a reverse decimation. Maybe we need to get rid of 90%, but whatever. So if it was Broward County sheriffs, it's just another in a long chain of incompetence. On the other hand, if it's Miami-Dade police sheriffs, they're out of their jurisdiction. Now, Now that by itself doesn't mean it's bad, because cops can operate outside of their jurisdiction with the permission of that jurisdiction.
It falls under hot pursuit or something like that?
Among other things. But again, this is a failure of Broward because they let this happen. Either way, they are on the hook. It's just a question of whether you blame one police department or sheriff's department or two. So here's what happened. You've got the UPS truck stuck in traffic. Again, driver's hostage. Again, GPS tracker. Again, helicopter. The police decide that they're going to close in on it in traffic, in stationary rush hour traffic. One of the criminals decides to shoot at the cops. I'm not saying this is smart, but you had him cornered. And
I
then,
thought that was unverified. Have they verified that since?
Well, I thought it had, and now you've mentioned it, and I don't know if I can pull it up. But
okay, so if you read that it was verified, that's good enough for me.
Well, I read it somewhere.
Okay.
I could be mistaken. But the point being is that either shots were fired or someone thought shots were being fired. And police officers to the side and behind the truck, I don't know how many at this point, they opened fire. They opened fire on a vehicle with a hostage in stopped rush hour traffic. I don't know yet how many bullets were shot, but let me finish. They killed the driver and they killed a bystander, a driver who was in traffic. I don't know how many yards ahead of him. They completely ignore, I'm on a rant now, I can't even remember which law it is, but they completely ignored the whole be aware of your target and what's behind it. Okay, they murdered an innocent person because they were trigger happy when they could have waited. They were tracking this thing. They could have set an ambush. They could have done all these things, but no, they had to cowboy up. They had to fire a whole bunch of shots and they killed two people. And honestly, it's a big freaking surprise that more weren't killed. And honestly, what I want to see from this right now, I hope this is a test case to remove qualified immunity from police, because this is beyond the pale. It goes beyond professional. It goes beyond sloppy. I'm not even sure what word I'm looking for other than like maybe reckless and reprehensible, and you should never, ever work in law enforcement ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like the when the Boston Marathon bomber was finally cornered and the cops just started opening fire. He was holed up in a boat that was wrapped up for the wintertime. And I don't know what started it because
he was wounded.
He was wounded from a previous shootout where to escape it, he ran over his brother. So he didn't do everything bad. it's kind of like Hitler. He invented the Volkswagen.
He loved dogs.
He was a vegetarian.
That's not a good thing.
Well, yeah, he was a terrible painter. silliness aside, I don't know what started it, because as far as I know, he didn't have a firearm because he was actually waiting. He had already resigned himself to die in the boat. He had actually written a suicide note in his own blood on the inside of the boat. And so clearly he didn't have a bullet to finish himself off. And so I don't know what started it, but essentially somebody from the police, after they had the boat literally surrounded, fired a shot at the boat, which caused other cops to fire the shot at the boat.
Oh, and we're shooting now. Let's do it.
Oh yeah. And this boat was turned into Swiss cheese. I don't know if any bullets actually hit the terrorist or not. I mean, he was previously wounded and he was injured when they took him out, but he was not badly injured, because unfortunately he's currently contesting his trial. I hope they go, yeah, it was a mistrial. We said we weren't going to execute you. Never mind. That's my thought. Officers were wounded.
This is a bad trial. We're going to release you where we found you.
Yeah. Several of the officers were wounded
by their own comrades.
Exactly. They were wounded by the crossfire from Z trigger. So yeah, there's that. But this is of course far worse, especially since two innocent people were killed and the bad guys weren't.
I have seen pictures of the UPS truck afterwards. And it's just Swiss cheese from start to finish.
It actually reminds me of a photo I saw during World War II. Grumman Aircraft Corporation was known for producing some really resilient aircraft, and they got the nickname Grumman Ironworks because of this. And it was, I think it was an F-4F that was taken out on tour, and it was just all patched bullet holes. In the entire fuselage was one end to the other was patched bullet holes. And that's what came to mind when I saw that van.
I actually haven't seen a picture of the shot up van. If anyone can find it and post it, please let me know. I'd actually like to compare it. I know it's kind of gruesome. You remember when Charles Dorner was terrorizing LA and somebody completely mistook some innocent woman's truck for his truck and they shot the hell out of it? And I'm just curious to see which one was shot up worse.
And of course, might I add that I don't know if they got the color wrong, but
yes, they did.
But the make and the model and the class, like they were driving around in a quarter ton truck. He was driving around in a full ton truck.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, they did get the color wrong. And if I remember correctly,
two women in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had two women in it, and I think they were driving around in a four-door truck, and he was in a two-door.
I know
or
that
vice versa.
They were in the small Toyota. What was that? Is that the Tacoma? I don't know.
I think so.
But yeah, they were in the Toyota quarter ton one, and he was driving around in a Nissan Titan. So yeah,
that's kind of similar.
And I think his was silver, and theirs was blue.
Mm-hmm. I remember theirs was blue. I thought his was white, but maybe silver.
Yeah, whatever. But either way, theirs got filled with holes.
Yeah, we really need to start holding individual police officers responsible for this sort of thing. I understand the premise behind qualified immunity, but they are using it to get away with things and to justify reckless, sloppy, incompetent behavior. And at this point, I want to see figurative heads on pikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially it was an F6F. I just posted up the picture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's still good. It buffed right out.
It was. I mean, literally, it was still flyable. Those are all patches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were, there were reports of Germans that basically ran out of ammo and had to give up before the damn thing would go down.
I think that was the P-47, because the F-6F was almost entirely Pacific Theater.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It was the Thunderbolt. I'm sorry.
No. Well, of course it's the Thunderbolt. It was designed by a Russian.
Oh, was it designed by a Russian?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
I'm blanking on the name, but I mean, it's just your typical Russian rugged engineering where it's practically this flying brick, and I think the guns were like, what were they, 650 cals or something?
Yeah. Alexander Kartevly.
Yeah. And
Georgian.
So when the A-10 Warthog was renamed the Thunderbolt 2, it's very fitting.
Oh yeah.
That was exactly where I went to, is yeah, the A-10. Yeah, we all call it the Warthog, but it was the Thunderbolt. It's not the Warthog, it's the Thunderbolt 2.
Yeah.
Because they were of their times, they were both the ultimate American ground support aircraft.
The A-10 still is.
Yes, but I was just saying the okay. P-47 at its time was the equivalent of that.
And yes, the Wikipedia page does have pictures of A-10s that returned to base all shot to hell.
Oh, yeah. I had a major love affair with that plane in high school, and I so wanted to fly it. And it's just redonkulous the amount of damage it can withstand and land. And a lot of it, because it was designed to be this ground support plane, so you knew it'd get shot up. Mm-hmm. They designed it to be modular. So it's almost like Lego tech. You know, this is shot up, so we'll just unbolt this. We'll put the thing on.
Yeah. It was also, it was one of the first aircraft that actually had an armored tub around the pilot, which was also continued from that point forward, and the A-10 had that as well.
Ah, yes, the titanium bathtub for the pilot.
Yep. I mean, the P-47, it was obviously not titanium, but it did have some armor protection for the pilot. And Aaron, next time you come visit, we can go out to the Tennessee Air Museum. They have two of the surviving flyable P-47s.
Ooh.
A bunch of other stuff as well, but...
Oh, and by the way, Aaron, you're not the only person to have a love affair with the A-10, because just look at the military's response every time someone decides, hey, we need to retire this and bring something more modern in.
So let me clue people in on this, because I grew up in a military family, and so I've got a little bit of an inside track here. I'm sure there are other listeners who know more, but I don't think any of the other panelists here know a whole lot about it. So,
son of an Air Force JAG.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, you might actually know. So here's the thing. Back when the Army Air Corps split off from the Army to form the Air Force, there was some sort of, I can't really say a treaty signed, but it was, there was a regulation put in place. That essentially, okay, the Army can do some things with aviation, but primarily, you know, the Air Force will do all these things, which is why, for example, the Army has helicopters, has rotary wing craft, but it has very few planes. It does have some. It's got, like, you know, artillery spotter planes and things like that, but it doesn't have attack planes. That's against the rules. That falls to the Air Force. Weirdly enough, air defense, shooting down planes with missiles, is the Army. Don't ask me why. It would make way more sense the other way around. So the Air Force, the generals and the politicians, they love their fast jets. They love their precision bombers. They're sexy. The problem is that the main uses of the Air Force are like refueling and hauling cargo and ground support, and the brass hates that. Now, of course, the troops love ground support. What did I get wrong?
Yeah, I disagree that air superiority and strategic bombing is a pretty big freaking deal.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to indicate it wasn't a big deal, but what I'm getting at is in terms of day-to-day operations, you are more likely to be flying transport. You are more likely to be refueling than the sexy bombing and air interdiction and things like that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to indicate they weren't wrong.
Small fraction of what they
And so when an army unit needs air support, okay, if they can get a helicopter, that's great. But sometimes there are no helicopters in the area or they're too far away. But the Air Force is. But the Army cannot directly request the Air Force for help. They have to call up their headquarters. The Army headquarters has to call up the Air Force headquarters. They have to coordinate. The Air Force has to then dispatch the A-10 for support. And so it's just this big, not quite bureaucracy, but there's this entire procedure about it that slows things down. And there have been times when the Army has said, look, can we please have close air support jets? Can we have the A-10? You obviously don't want it because you're trying to kill it. And suddenly then the Air Force is like, no, you cannot have it. It is mine. It is my precious. And yeah, so every time the Air Force tries to kill the A-10, the Army goes, we'll take it. And then they won't
suddenly
get rid of it.
We're not killing it anymore.
Yeah.
That's not the political... I'm not saying that that's not also happening, but that's not what I've been hearing going on.
Okay. Please tell me what you know.
Turn the crap off.
Oh, you died.
Did you turn yourself
no,
off?
No, I kept getting this Windows wants to use sticky keys thing, and yeah, and it keeps beeping at me.
Getting walking on the keyboard?
No, because I use push to talk and holding down the shift key because my my usual computer is still blown up, and so I'm using a laptop. But so a lot of the there's folks at the high level that want to kill the A-10 because the Air Force, like the rest of the military, keeps getting its budget squeezed. And the A-10, as awesome as it is at close ground support, that's pretty much all it can do.
Well, it's a one-trick pony,
the tank killer.
Yeah, it's awesome at it. It is by far the best at it, but that's all it can do. So they keep saying, well, you know, we can do this with F-16s or F-35s with smart bombs, etc., and drop one entire craft from our inventory.
And all of the support mechanism required for it.
Exactly. And also there's some thinking that as pilots go, pilots love flying the transports and bombers because that can directly translate pretty well to commercial airliners when they get out. And of course they love flying the fighter jets because everybody wants to be Maverick from Top Gun.
Oh yeah. You should have heard when they ended the service of the F-14 was hearing the pilots screaming about how they were losing their beloved F-14 and the maintenance personnel cheering that they were getting rid of that nightmare F-14.
Oh yeah. Now of course I realized that Top Gun, that's Navy and it's red flag, but meh.
But it's the same concept.
Everyone does want to be Maverick from Top Gun. It doesn't matter what.
Yeah.
What service you're in? Yeah.
Yeah. I went to high school with a guy who's a Coast Guard aviator, and yeah, he wants to be Maverick from Top Gun.
Sure enough.
He went and joined the Kansas Navy.
But yeah, so, my dad's service predated all of that. He was in the Air Force in the 50s, and he would tell stories referring to the Brown Shoe Air Force versus the Black Shoe Air Force, because there were still a lot of guys in the 50s who had started out in the Army Air Corps, and they wore the Army uniforms, which included the brown dress boots. And then in 48, when they became, or 47, when they became the Air Force, starting in 48, they were wearing the black dress shoes of the Air Force's new.
As for the Army taking over the A-10s, the Army really doesn't have, you have to use air bases with proper airstrips to deal with A-10s, and the Army doesn't have those. You know, they'd have to be taking off, and
Air Force wouldn't let them.
Well, yeah, but you have to, they have to take off and land at proper airstrips, which, you know, the VTOLs and helicopters don't. So
right. That's why the Marines basically only have helicopters and Harriers for that kind of service. Well, that's still one of the funnier jokes about how, the Navy's Army has its own Air Force.
This is true.
Because America.
And so speaking of the Air Force, we got a little bit of confusion about which terrorist attack in Florida.
Yes. And actually the other one, it wasn't Air Force. That was Naval Air Station Pensacola.
Okay.
So we're back to Maverick.
Okay. So the Navy's Air Force.
Right. So the Navy's Air Force base in Pensacola, but they were doing an exchange program, as the U.S. military does with countries all over the world, and they had a bunch of pilots in from Saudi Arabia, and one of whom, his name I will not mention, basically went a-shooting, and he killed 3 people and injured 8 others before the local county sheriff's deputies killed him, because according to the regulations of the military base, the U.S. military personnel on base, with rare exceptions, are completely unarmed. So it's one big gun-free zone for the military.
Yep.
And that was put into a place by the first Bush president.
It was normalized by the first Bush president. It actually had been in place longer than that, but it was more up to the base commanders.
Okay, well, but he's the one who put it in writing.
Right. He made it a formal recommendation.
Right. Okay.
And so the there are 2 competing theories. I haven't seen conclusive for one or the other. The one that's even more ridiculous was he went on the shooting spree because he was teased and given the nickname Porn Stash because of his mustache. The other theory is based on an unverified Twitter tweet or Facebook post or whatever, talking about the U.S.'s persecution of Muslim countries and his hatred for America.
Oh, by the way, speaking of the porn stash thing, which very well could be true, because talk to anyone, specifically anyone who's an aviator, about call signs. There's no such thing as like Maverick and Iceman or even Goose. Goose is altogether too charitable for a call sign. You would definitely get call sign Porn Stash. Runs right up the alley with every fact, other story of
right up the alley would be another one.
Yeah.
But yes, and for anyone out there thinking that you get to choose your nickname, that's never not how that works. That's not how any of that works.
And that should tell you right now, like, if you don't get to choose it, but other people get to choose it, and those other people are in the military
and kind of jerks in a lot of cases because they're young and they're bored.
Yeah, any screw up you make, any unflattering feature, that's how you're going to be called.
Oh yeah, I mean, we didn't do call signs or anything like that in the fire department. But yeah, if you screwed up, you were going to be teased about that screw up at every training event, every meeting, every party, until somebody else did a screw up that was worse.
or on a similar level, the Robert Turkla of Lunkers TV on YouTube. He's a fishing and hunting channel. He was an Army sniper before he started doing YouTube stuff, and he was sports betting with a friend, and he lost, and it was something to the tune of like, it was a decent amount of money. I don't know if it was $500 or $1,000 or $2,000, but whatever the bet was, it was a large sum of money, and he lost. And so he paid his friend, he paid his debt in quarters, and literally brought he went to the bank and he had to call them ahead of time
to make sure they had enough.
It'll take us a couple days. And then he came, got his quarters in crates, and then unwrapped, and actually had his paid employees. He paid people to help him unwrap all the quarters and put them in buckets.
Because why not?
And then waited for him. And then they waited outside his office for him to go out to lunch, and then had his wife let them into the office, and they dumped the bucket full of quarters, like it was like $2,000 worth of quarters, onto his office floor. And then he moved it around so that it formed a giant dollar sign made out of quarters in the middle of his floor.
That sounds legit.
And then
legit.
He came back 2 days later, and it's still there because he just hasn't got the time to sweep it all up and bring it to a bank for it to be converted into actual money as opposed to ballast. But he's like, yeah, if you're in the military, you know you treat your friends that way. And then he went, you know what? If you don't treat your friends this way, maybe you're not a good friend.
Right. Oh, yeah. My fire department, quick story here. This is before my cardiac condition was diagnosed or even we were aware that I had one. So we were at a training drill in March. It was unseasonably warm, and someone had bought some property and there was an old house on it. And so they donated the house to the fire department for training. So we burned it down. You don't do that quickly. You burn it down a little bit at a time. And so I was in there, and obviously gets hot. And then as part of the training, we walked the hose line, and we had it set up where it was relaying through several trucks. So a lot of walking, full turnout gear. And I had a cardiac episode and passed out, and they took me away in an ambulance. So I was, like I said, they hadn't diagnosed it yet. So I was just teased for passing out from the heat at the site. And that's was brought up regularly after that. Hey, you got enough water? You need to cool off? You too warm? Until one of the other guys, who is a Vietnam veteran sniper, was showing a .22 rifle to his grandson, and had a negligent discharge and shot himself through the calf.
Oof.
Yes, through and through, right through the meat. No major damage. It was, of course, unloaded.
Yeah. That's why Jeff Cooper wrote rule number one.
Yep. And his daughter freaked out and called 911. And of course we got there first, because he lived about, I don't know, maybe half a mile from the fire department. So everyone forgot about my passing out after that. And I don't know if it's possible for anyone to top him without a death.
I had a coworker that might
dish.
It also involved an unloaded gun.
The best kind.
Yeah, he was at the gun range shooting his Uzi.
As one will.
As one will.
Is this a full auto Uzi, or is this a...
This is a full auto Uzi.
It's important to the story.
It has a failure to fire. He racks it a couple times, make sure it's clear, and goes back to the bench to sit down and see what's going on. As he's sitting there trying to figure out what the hell's going on with it, it goes bang. It goes through his left testicle.
Yay.
This was also before the days of HIPAA, and he worked at local major hospital. And was friends with the maintenance guys. Decades later, when I started working there with him, the his name was Ed, and there were still some of the older maintenance guys that would call him Edwina.
Old Cyclops.
And actually, they recovered the bullet, and he kept it on a chain around his neck.
Nice!
Now, is this the gentleman who brought a full auto Uzi to the bidet shoot?
No, it is not. No. That was the owner of that range, and he was a friend of Adam's, not mine.
Okay.
Yeah, at the last blog shoot, I remember I was working on, I think, was it your lever action 22?
Yes.
When someone a few spots down decided to have some fun with a binary trigger and showered me with hot brass. And I had I had these little red blotches on like my cheekbone, the side of my neck. And I've got my hands in this gun. I can't go anywhere. Luckily, I was wearing a hat. I just turned 90 degrees and he just started bouncing off my hat. But that was some interesting explanations. Honey, why do you have these, what looks like a hickey on your neck and cheek? And
I got a 22 caught between my neck and collar. And I actually had a burn mark that was in the exact shape of a 22 case. I'm actually kind of sad that it faded because I had it for like a couple of years where you could actually see the rim.
Yeah. Try it with a 5.56.
Oh yeah.
It's a lot hotter and it burns a lot longer.
I had the casing of a 40 cal jump out of my Beretta 96 and land on the inside of my elbow and just stand there.
Oh yeah, it sticks.
Yeah. And it was sitting there long enough for me to go, huh, that's weird. Oh, it's actually balanced there.
The good news is hot. when the meat's good and cooked, it'll self-release.
Great. Yeah. In the back to the fire department talk again, when we were in training, we'd be in the burn tower all bundled up. And one of the trainers would talk about the personal protective equipment we would wear. And he would make the comment about, you know, it's important to do this or that, or the other, and then finish up. Cause without that, we cook just like chicken. And one time I made the mistake of saying, don't we actually cook more like pork? It did not go over well.
I don't know why. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, yeah. I don't know, David. I don't think that was very kosher of you.
No. No, but the long pig is never kosher. There's no way to prepare it that way.
Thank you. That was the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good times. But yeah, yeah. I've also got to say again, going on the bipartisan nature of ACP in the aftermath of this shooting, pro-gun Republican governor.
Which shooting we talked about too?
This is the Navy.
The one at Pensacola.
The Pensacola shooting.
Yeah.
Pro-gun Republican governor Ron DeSantis said, "I am a Second Amendment supporter. The Second Amendment is so that we American people can keep and bear arms. It does not apply to Saudi Arabians."
Thank you for playing.
Exactly. And yeah, for those that are, especially like me, who are a secular person, when somebody says the Second Amendment is a God-given right, I mean, you could argue that it is in fact granted by God, but it is the understanding that it is a universal right. And so therefore somebody in Saudi Arabia has just as much of a right to a firearm as somebody who is in America, and it doesn't matter if the Saudi Arabian is in Saudi Arabia where they are disarmed by their crappy gun laws. Actually, I don't know how crappy the gun laws are in Saudi Arabia. I know
it's Yemen's, very, very caste based.
Yeah. Okay.
In most of the Middle East.
That makes sense. Cause I know Yemen is like America's number one as far as guns per people. And I think Yemen is number two, which is in the Arabian Peninsula, but
I thought it was Croatia.
That could be
one of those others. And there's a long distance between number one and number two.
Yes.
So it's hard to see from up here.
Yeah. But either way, that's my gun's gun.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, in contrast to the governor's statement is that all men are in fact created equal and possibly endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights.
That is exactly correct. And so therefore, and I believe there was actually a Supreme Court case, where in this case, I mean, this would be, I think it would probably need further clarification within it if Governor DeSantis wanted to do some nonsense like this, which he's claiming he wants to do, but he could just be making noise at this point. But I know that there have been some resident aliens who have mm-hmm. applied for carry permits and have been denied because they are not U.S. citizens, and they have taken it to the higher courts. I don't know if it went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, but I know there's been at least
two. I hope they bring it there. Yeah. I do know that in the range where I work, we have a list of allowed countries mm-hmm. that can rent guns.
Okay.
And that has to do with State Department stuff. But one of the other after effects of the shooting in Pensacola was the Pentagon decided to suspend operational training for all Saudi military students in the United States indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of torn on that. On the one hand, I can understand it from a security standpoint. On the other hand, collective punishment is evil.
Mm-hmm. I do know a lot of American military mechanics that will be very happy to hear that.
Oh, the Saudis are out?
Yes. I have heard that it is very common for Middle Eastern pilots, because a lot of times with a lot of them, to be a pilot, you have to be an officer. To be an officer with them, you have to be from the correct family.
Yes. And again, we're going back to the caste thing.
Right. So a lot of the pilots tend to be very upper class and have never had to actually dirty themselves with the mechanical stuff. So,
or dealing with the peons who maintain stuff.
Right. So when an American pilot would go, wait, that sounds horribly wrong, I'm going to land this thing and give it to the mechanic to fix, a lot of times they'll just go, well, I'm sure it's supposed to sound that way, and keep mm-hmm. flying.
Yep. Or where an American pilot would say, that sounds odd or feels odd or whatever, I'm going to let the mechanics know after I land. The pilots from certain countries wouldn't. They would hear the sound, or they'd feel the thing. They would know there's something wrong, but they wouldn't lower themselves to talk to the mechanics about it.
Hmm.
So I've heard that, and I knew guys back in the, well, they were in the Air Force during Vietnam and into the mid 70s. And they told me some stories like that, because anytime I was around vets who I could get them to tell me stories, I would happily sit for hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to ask if it was time to have a story making fun of a friend of the show or not.
I think that would be fine. I think we've gone enough into the dark and stormies, and now it's time to you can tell a nice story, and then we could talk about gifties.
Okay, so a friend of the show, which everybody here knows, but for various reasons he wishes to keep his name out of things, is
for story purposes. What shall we call him?
Did you just assume their gender?
Well, I did say he.
I was just following along.
We will call him Lucy. There, we've covered all the things.
But he is currently down in Florida for a week-long training class. And one of the days of training is on revolvers, which he made the realization that the only revolver he currently owns is a Breaktop Schofield replica in 45 ACP.
45 ACP or 45 Colt?
45 ACP. He had it converted from 45 Colt to 45 cool. ACP.
Using and
it takes
clips?
Moon clips.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is awesome.
It's really awesome.
Is he going to be at the blog shoot? Because if he is, he has to bring that. If he's not coming to the blog shoot, he has to come to the blog shoot and bring that.
Hopefully he'll be at the blog shoot. I was talking to him about it on Thursday, actually. So he went down to the gun store and decided to see what they had. And he picked up a Smith & Wesson 38 Special Airweight Snub Nose.
That's fine.
And
I was waiting for you to say Taurus Judge.
Ross.
Nope. And
no, he's too smart for that.
Well, maybe he's not done yet. That.
And the shop took off $100 on the Smith and Wesson, so that he would also take. He decided, yeah, it'd probably be a good idea to have, you know, something with like 3 or 4 inch barrel instead of a little snubby if accuracy is going to be involved at all in this class, right? So it was another 38 special, a 5-shot used Rossi.
Ooh.
There's a gambling man.
This is a man who one of his standard EDC guns is an STI.
Wow.
And yes, he's going to be training for a good portion of this week with the STI. And
okay, so explain for my benefit why Rossi and or STI is a problem, because I don't get it.
So the trigger on Lucy's STI is like putting your finger in a dish of warm butter. The trigger just breaks magically.
Okay.
Yeah, the STI is a double stack 9mm 1911 that he got the cheap one that they make that is only $2,000.
Okay.
And then
I was thinking 2300, but yeah.
Yeah. That's and worth every goddamn penny, I might add.
Yes.
He did not overpay. Like I would absolutely carry one of those if it was legal in Massachusetts. And then
there's the Rossi, which
yes,
is
which, if it is
Spanish,
if it is
Spanish or South America, I forget.
Yeah, it is South American. It is now
a South American knockoff of a Smith & Wesson.
It's
Rossi is now Taurus's budget brand.
Oh, I know what that means.
That is the perfect way to describe that.
If it is indicative, you can get nice ones.
That's why I said a gambling man.
Yeah, he's a gambling man. The big issue with Taurus and their sister company Rossi is not that they make bad guns. As a matter of fact, they make spectacular guns. I don't think they make anything that. Well, there might be some of their newer ones. There might be a bad one in there that's just a bad design. But overall, it is spectacular designs, and the revolvers are magnificent. The issue is their quality control is hot garbage, and so therefore
burning.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. But as a general rule, if the trigger pull is indicative of other trigger pulls made by Rossi and or Taurus, it's often described as the double action trigger pull is like dragging a piano down a dirt road with your finger.
It also the weight of the trigger pull on this particular model. Actually, the trigger pull isn't that bad on his particular one.
Says the man with a high point.
Well, yes.
The 11-pound single action trigger.
But honestly, the weight of the trigger pull is pretty close to that. Is it the Makarov that you have that has the 25-pound trigger pull?
It is a Radom P64. It's a Polish PPK clone, and yes, okay, it has about a 24-25-pound double action trigger pull.
This one's a little lighter than that. I did not go looking for the safety on this revolver when I tried pulling the trigger. Unlike a Radom I once picked up.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is they're nice looking revolvers. They're basically, like I said, they are variations on the Smith design. Mm-hmm. But the quality control, like you mentioned, the metallurgy, the heat treating,
the polishing of internal parts.
Yeah. The fitting of internal parts is all kind of a crapshoot. I have known a couple of people who got the Rossi revolvers that were just beautiful on the outside. And like you said, you'd look for the safety. And just a few hours with stone and file and paper, and they tuned up beautifully. And then they're the ones where the person did some minor fitting to the parts, and 2 cylinders later, the parts were misshapen because they weren't surface hardened.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, crapshoot is polite.
But yeah, so he's going to do some training with his STI, and then comes time for the revolvers, and he's going to pull out this Rossi.
Because they made him take it for a deal on the Smith.
Well, did he not
dry fire it at the shop?
Didn't you hear the part where he said they gave him $100 off the Smith & Wesson if he would also take this?
Yeah.
So they gave him $100 off the Smith & Wesson because they couldn't legally just give him the Rossi.
Okay, see, at first I thought they were saying, you know, they'd offer $100 off if he would also buy this gun, but apparently he didn't have to pay for it at all.
Well, conveniently, the Rossi was $100.
Right, I was going to say, he paid full price for the Smith & Wesson, there was a $100 rebate which he applied to the Rossi.
Ah, there you go. Well, you put it like that.
A friend of mine, he actually manages the Cabela's in Maine, he thought he could move it. I don't know if he ever did. I should actually shoot him an email to see if he ever did. But he ended up buying a gold plated Rossi 38.
He called it the plating is worth more than the Rossi.
He called it the Manuel Noriega special.
And I would totally buy that.
I know.
Of course you would.
Well, you know what?
We have no doubts about that.
Call up Cabela's, and call up Cabela's in Scarborough, Maine, and ask if they have the gold plated Manuel Noriega special.
Man, I'm not paying a shipping and transfer fee on that.
Well, maybe your friend could, or you or your friend could buy it. You guys come to the blog shoot and then do a face-to-face sale.
Well, as a non-resident, though, that would be illegal.
Face-to-face sale. There's no paper trail. This part of the recording just gets edited out.
Yes, there would be. There would be a paper trail that edited me.
Boating accident.
Yes. So one good Christmas gift idea is to get somebody a revolver from either Taurus or Rossi.
It's an idea. I don't know if I would say good.
And you could actually double it up by actually getting it with one of those boxes of Valentine candy, not the Russell Stover, but one of the boxes that looks particularly like a Russell Stover box, but is not a Russell Stover box. And that you bought like 3 weeks after Valentine's Day, and it's been sitting in the back of your closet for a while, so the chocolate's getting nice and bloomy. And then what you could do is you could take the Rossi revolver, put it in the box of chocolates, close the box of chocolates, and set it on your radiator or next to your wood stove for a little bit, and then you give it to them and say,
You mentioned Russell Stovers, and I have a better idea. You go to one of their factory outlet stores and you buy one of the boxes that's labeled blooper.
I think they just opened one of those in Oak Ridge.
There's one near you, David.
Oh, I know there's one near me, but I think there's one nearer me.
Ah, okay.
You open it up and it's filled with nothing but lumpfish caviar.
No, it's, you know, they sell the, it's like, oh, this one came off the belt misshapen or whatever. Mm-hmm. They sell them in boxes that they call bloopers. And so you get one of those boxes, you empty out all the chocolate, and you actually line it, and there's your pistol case for this thing.
Well, I was thinking you want to make sure that the chocolate and the Rossi can get acquainted with the heat.
Well, you know,
it serves as lubrication. It's like Cosmoline, but tastier.
Although on a serious note, there are a lot of interesting guns that you can pick up for dirt cheap that are old, you know, that used to be Saturday night specials, etc., that are just interesting guns. Mm-hmm. Like I picked up an Ivor Johnson 22 semi-auto for $100.
Yes, I'd like to play with that one.
If I ever get it back from Oleg,
I've heard that from several people.
I'm going to Oleg's blog right now to see if I could see your Rossi in the hands of.
Oh, you mean my Ivor Johnson?
Yeah, it's Ivor Johnson semi-auto 22.
No, he hasn't actually taken pictures of it yet. He's had it significantly longer than I have.
Update on your Colt?
I am told that I will hopefully have it back by Christmas.
And this is from the Smith that's taking care of it?
Yes.
God, the timing must have been really out.
I think it's a combination of, one, he said he's having to locate the lifter arm, and
then fit it.
And two, just, you know, it being in line of all the other stuff that he's doing. He said he usually tries to do a two-week turnaround, but with the couple extra hiccups, it's going to be a little bit longer this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say this is a perfect time for. I've talked about it on Handgun Radio, but I actually haven't talked about it on this podcast, which is, you know, kind of sad because that's actually how I found out about this company. But I got to say, I have an Asphalia bag,
ooh,
from Asphalia Designs, and I got to say, I love it. It is absolutely beautiful, and it is so well designed. It's just, it's got, I mean, not only is it a really well thought out concealed carry bag, it's got a magnetic closure for the concealed carry pocket that would, it's a messenger bag, so it would ride the side that would ride right up against your body, has magnets on it, and the holster body is Velcro, so you can reverse it and change the cant and change the angle and all that stuff on it. So you can get it just right for how you're going to carry it and how you want to draw it. But then the pocket just magically disappears with a little snap of magnets. But then also just, it's got pockets in all the right places. Just pockets for your tablet, pockets for your laptop, little tiny pockets for just quick access. It's just a really good design. It looks really sharp, and I gotta say, I am pleased to have one, and I recommend it to anybody who would want a schnazzy bag. And of course, if you are one of the ladies, they make a whole bunch of like purses and other stuff like that
I'm actually consulting with them on a concealed carry purse. They asked my opinion of one, and I carried it at GRPC. Yes, I did. I think I carried it some other times as well, and I gave them some feedback on it. And it's like, okay, this is good, but I want you to tweak this, this, and this. And I have faith that they are listening to me and they'll keep that in mind. And it's a great product. It just needs a little bit more to make it superb. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about the things I didn't like because I don't want to make it sound like I'm bad mouthing the company, but it was just, you know, okay, it's kind of difficult to draw this way. What if you did it this way? Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. And so hopefully they will come out with a product that just has everything I want, and then I will endorse the heck out of it. Now, Weird, the one they gave you, does it have room for an armor panel?
It does.
See, I thought you kind of buried that. Don't know if it's buried the lead.
Yes, I forgot. Yeah, it didn't come. I did not get the armor panel, but yes, it's got the. It also has the pocket, and that one is. And actually, honestly speaking, I didn't even realize. It took me a while of looking it over very, very closely before I found where the armor panel goes, because yeah. it's
a hidden pocket, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sealed up nice and tight. So number one, you're not going to go reaching for your chapstick and pull out your armor panel or pull out a laptop and go, oh no, that's just a level 3A ballistic plate. It's got the spot for it too, which is absolutely another great advantage, especially if it's one of those things of the last time I was carrying a messenger bag, it was at a job interview at a gun-free zone.
Mm-hmm. Products they make is a backpack. And not only does the backpack have a ballistic plate, which is good to give to your kids if you're worried about a school shooting. But the backpack is configured in such a way, and David can explain it better than I can, but you can like take it off your shoulders and sort of put your hand through a sleeve and you can kind of Captain America it.
Yeah. On the part of the backpack that rests against your back, to either side, there's a small zippered opening. If you open both of those, you can reach your arm through one opening and grab the other opening, and you now have a backpack size shield with whatever size armor plate is fitting for that, that you can duck and run behind.
And I think that's very interesting. I don't know how practical it would be, but you know what? Yay, capitalism. If people want to buy it, by all means, let's make one. Let's give people the option.
Unless Senator Schumer gets his way and that type of product are banned.
Because, of course, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good time.
But yeah, but I would actually argue it would be practical in the sense that if you are in a situation where there is an active shooter and they are essentially in your line of sight or are coming into your line of sight, like you're hiding out in a room, you're trapped. I mean, obviously if there's an active shooter situation and there's an exit that is not obstructed, get the heck out of Dodge.
Right. But it may be that to get to that exit, you have to pass their line of sight.
Exactly. So either you're getting to an exit and you encounter them, or you're holed up in some, you're bunkered down in some place and they encounter you, or you happen to be at ground zero. I mean, when you look at the shooting of Gabrielle Giffords, the staff dump dove on the guy. They charge them. But of course you're closing the distance with someone that has a gun. You're going to get shot, or at least shot at, and the chances of you getting shot is high. That if you had something like that, that you could stuff that gun with, and it was armor rated. I mean, even if it's not even rated for what they've got, if they've got an AR and you've got the 3A plate, which will 3A stop? 5.56?
I believe so. If I'm remembering correctly, 3A is rated up to one, maybe two shots of armor-piercing 308 at a fixed range.
David, do you know off the top of your head? I know you tested all this stuff.
I'm sorry, what was that again? I got distracted.
The the ballistic ratings for 3A. Will
3A is up to 44 Magnum and 1 ounce 12-gauge slugs.
So it will not stop rifle rounds?
No.
Is that the difference between 3 and 3A?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. What does level 3 stop?
Level 3 will reliably stop 308.
There you go. See, I was just confused as to which one was the A.
Yep. You know, the A implies the soft panel. The 3.
Okay.
Implies a hard panel, which gives a greater degree of protection.
I've already indicated I'm terrible with names.
Yeah. But even with the 3A and the guy's got an AR. Like people were talking about, oh, the cops, they hide behind their door panels. If it's not an armored door panel, you know, is that going to do them any good? And I'm like, you know what? I'll hide behind a newspaper if that's available. Anything that gets in between me and the bullet is going to take at least a little bit of energy off of it.
Also, think of this: with that backpack on your arm and raised up, it's covering your head and your upper torso, right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes it not just the armor panel, but also that means that the shooter can't aim at your head because they can't see your head. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a little bit more leeway there as well.
On the other hand, you can't see either. So
right, but you know where they are, and you're running away from them or running perpendicular to them.
Okay,
you're just bringing that up because you know where they are and you're trying to get away from there.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, my wife also took a look at one of their purses and did a review. And they said that some of her comments on changes were very much in line with yours.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that she said that you didn't, or you said that she didn't. I honestly,
I'm sure it was both.
It was handbag stuff. I was more focused on the rifle bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're taking this very seriously because they want to bring the breast. Sorry, that was a little Freudian undergarment. But they want to bring the best product that they can to market. And like you said, they've got an excellent product with just a little tweaking. Mm-hmm. It would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the first things I said was, it's a fantastic purse. I love it. You mm-hmm. know, some improvement here for the concealed carry. So, I really think that with just like one more iteration, it'll be mwah.
Well, there's one other thing they mentioned that they're working on. I don't know if they told you about this. They were trying to get an LED light strip inside the purse.
Yes, yes. He told me about that at NRA, and I'm like, oh my God, yes, because if you've got a dark interior, you're trying to root around and find stuff.
Right. Your black cell phone, your black sunglasses, your black wallet, your...
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that was actually one of my wife's comments was that to use a lighter lining material.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the LED, they were originally going to put it, I believe, up at the top, right above the zippered pocket on the inside.
Right. I remember them saying that.
They're also looking into the possibility of instead putting it at the bottom so the light would shine up through everything.
Ooh.
I'm not sure which would actually be more workable with a purse full of stuff.
I'm not sure either, but this calls for testing.
Absolutely. And it will be USB chargeable.
Well, yeah, it'd have to be.
Well, the original design concept was a little battery pack.
Oh.
But that added bulk and weight.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to go with USB rechargeable. I'm not sure whether it's lithium ion or air zinc or whatever.
Air zinc? I've never heard of that.
It's not so common yet. It's just another energy storage system. But here I'll see. Oh, sorry. Zinc air is how it's usually.
Well, still, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
It's like Jane Eyre. It's her sister.
But, oh, the boys are being very quiet. Nothing really to add.
Okay, actually, there are two versions now. They've changed this since the last time I looked at it. There are zinc air batteries, which are non-rechargeable, and zinc air fuel cells, which are rechargeable. But it's oxidizing zinc with oxygen, so high energy density, so it can be small size, large energy output, but the batteries themselves are not rechargeable, so that wouldn't be a good choice.
So just because I thought about it, and we're getting close to the end of the episode, and we seem to have been trailing off from this topic, a while ago I mentioned an Operation Blazing Sword raffle, and then I didn't say anything else about it, and people have asked me about it, and so here's the thing. I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball for a variety of reasons. I was overwhelmed. I was not feeling good. By the time I found my rear end with both hands and a flashlight, we were already so far into November that if we ran the raffle for any decent amount of time, we would be competing for Christmas. And I know that that's not the way to do it, because people want to spend money on Christmas presents, not for a chance to buy things. Then, of course, after Christmas, all the bills come due and people are dealing with that. So we decided that it was probably best to do it in the springtime after people have recovered from Christmas and maybe they're looking forward to getting their tax refunds. So we're going to do it sometime in the spring. And we're thinking maybe because we've got at least a couple knives, we're going to try and get some more. And it'll be like, you know, the Ides of March giveaway or something. And we're going to try and get some more things to be raffled off, including, hopefully, an Asphalia bag. That would be really cool. Yes, I see the thing, but fortunately, I'm recording on my end, so it's not that huge. So...
That's what she said.
God.
Jinx.
So, I...
Just don't.
So, for the people who are wondering what happened, yeah, I'm sorry, I messed up. I've got a lot on my plate. I haven't forgotten. We've just rescheduled. So I'll keep you apprised of it. Hopefully we can get even more, and I don't want to say cooler because the prizes were pretty cool, but you will get more of the same amount of coolness of prizes to be raffled off. So I'm sorry. Stay tuned.
Cool. I just want to give Operation Blazing Sword some damn money.
You know, you can. Well,
one of the ways that you can do that is if you're buying your presents through Amazon, is you can use Amazon Smile and set Operation Blazing Sword as the charity.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, you can. And of course, we've got PayPal. You can just make a direct donation to us. And because we are a 501c3 tax deductible charity, anything you contribute before the end of the year can be written off your taxes when you itemize them next year.
And of course, I would have to say that you should, of course, make sure that or understand that you should only donate in people's names who would approve of such things because, well, donating in somebody else's name for something that if they're on the other side of things, that would just be wrong.
I shall not name names, but I have a few people who have companies that have matching donations and are stridently anti-gun, and they're going, I got my anti-gun company to donate to you. So that's
right
funny.
Up there with the guy who built the zip guns and brought them to for like $5 a piece and brought them to a gun turn-in. And mm-hmm. then use that money to buy an actual gun.
Yes.
I saw like the guy that literally had like a piece of pipe attached to like a 2x4 for his shoulder stock.
Yeah, and it was fireable once, just like you can eat any mushroom once.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? It totally works. Please tell me before you test it out if you're skeptical. I don't want to be in the same room.
But video. I want video.
It could be like when our buddies at Geek Sketches and Guns LFD Research shot the 300 blackouts on a 5.56 barrel. It made it out. It blew the gun to smithereens, but let me tell you, they put a bullet into the berm. It didn't get stuck.
It wasn't only a single shot; it was a one shot.
Though I wonder, they used a hollow point. And they actually recovered the bullet from the berm, and the lead had been squeezed out of the jacket out the hollow point like a zit.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's what happened with Mike Colt, and it wasn't a hollow point.
Yeah,
because well,
at least on one half of the bullet.
No, the copper jacketing. All around it, completely. There was copper jacketing all the way around the cylinder.
On that wonderful note, on Oddball's horribly out of time Colt. That's why we buy Smith & Wesson's, kids.
I'm a zit.
Dang. I would say shots fired, but not out of that Colt until it's fixed.
And to self-deprecate myself, to Aaron's sake, on the I weird man, I love revolvers. Don't worry, I've got revolvers from all of them. I have Colts, I have Smith & Wessons, I have Rugers, and I want more.
So you're saying that we should go out and buy that Smith & Wesson polymer revolver?
Oh God, anything but that. I'll own a Rossi before I own one of those.
What about the Glock 44 and 22? With its polymer mixed frame.
That looks really, really cool. Well, in a mixed slide. The slide is polymer.
Yeah, part of the slide is polymer.
Yeah.
I honestly, with Glock coming out with that, I make fun of, oh, hey, the Honda Civic comes in a slightly different color of blue now. But
pretty much. They update the software.
And sometimes the software fails on them because
software
apparently slightly tweaking a gun that you make one gun and that's it, just in different configurations. You can still screw that up and require recalls.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, if you own a Glock 19, that Glock 44 makes a lot of sense to take to the range.
Mm-hmm.
Or just buy one of the 22 conversions that they make for the Glock 17.
Well, yeah.
But then you have one less gun. So, yeah, buy the Glock 44. Never mind.
Well, and also, I've always... It always seems to me that... And I don't I may be wrong with that particular conversion, but a lot of times I look at the conversions and go, wait, I can buy a conversion for $350, or I can buy a 22 for $400.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing, the one strong argument made in favor of the conversion kit is you keep the trigger pull of the main firearm. So, for example, if you've got a Glock 17 as a carry gun or a Glock 19 as a carry gun, and you've had the trigger done, and then you get this conversion kit, you can practice using 22, but you're still practicing on that same release.
Yeah, but, and also, of course, there's the, and this isn't going to any individual conversion kit. I've, in general, conversion kits tend to have a reputation of having some reliability issues.
Oh, yeah. I had, for one of my 1911s, I'm not going to mention the brand name, but I got a 22 conversion kit, and it was beautiful, but every other round when the slide came back would pop out the top. And so I contacted them about this, and we went back and forth with some suggestions and things I could try, and finally, like, yeah, send it back. We'll refund your money.
Mm.
So, I mean, they handled it well, but they stopped offering that for a while. But anyway, gifts.
Yeah.
Do we actually want to talk about gifts?
Or I was going to ask that.
Do we have anything else? Because we've been going on for a while. So
yeah, we can go on. Quick, I posted up some links earlier from Amazon.
And I posted a link to a tasteful knife you can give people.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's my thought as well every time he says tasteful knife. But they have the skull cakelet pan. It's basically, it's like a muffin tin, but it's six skulls. So if you're doing a Day of the Dead party or something like that, a friend of mine has one. It is currently on sale on Amazon, and it is Prime applicable. So it's the Nordic Ware Haunted Skull Cakelet Pan. And
nice.
Actually, I know two people who have them, and they enjoy them.
Oh, man, that knife the Oddball posted, by the way,
$30
for a Bowie knife. That's got to be quality.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Hey, I could have posted...
Best steal out of Pakistan.
I could have posted the $200 Christmas Bowie knife.
Yeah.
And yes.
Is it better quality?
Oh, yeah, it's actually made by Case.
All right. Out of metal.
Yes.
Yes.
with iron in it.
So for those playing at home who aren't seeing this.
Oh, you're going to describe it? We have to hear about it as well as see it?
It's not horrible. That's the thing. I expected horrible.
No, it's the fact that it's a giant Christmas knife.
Yeah, I mean, the grip panels are alternating red and blue, and there's an inlaid Santa face in silver.
Green.
Yes,
what did
red
I
and
say?
Green. You said blue.
Oh, I'm looking at the picture and thinking green and blue.
Yeah,
I know what I meant. You know what I meant.
There's been some in previous years that were more tacky than this. Yes, this is made in wonderful 3 CR13 stainless steel.
With a Santa Claus themed etching and message complemented by a brass handguard.
I'm just here surprised that it's full tang. I thought they would cheap out on that.
Well, if they cheaped out on the tang, the blade would probably fall off.
Yes,
and
that was my point.
Liable.
Yeah. But yes, the blade says, Santa Claus is coming to town. Merry Christmas.
And it's a 10.5-inch blade.
For $30.
Yeah. A recessed nickel silver plated Santa Claus medallion is featured on the handle, which also has a brass lanyard hole.
And the blade is housed in a premium leather belt sheet made from the skin of the finest Nagas.
You know, I might actually end up getting this for my dad.
If that doesn't really work for you, I just posted another one that is a little actual pocket knife.
Oh, it's a limited edition numbered.
Yes, it's specifically for Christmas of 2019. Made by Kissing Crane.
And they misspelled one of the reindeers as usual.
What did they?
Oh, Donner versus Donder?
Yes. Donder and Blitzen, not Donner and Blitzen.
Huh.
Well, I don't know. He might be a camel. He might be a Shut up. He might
reindeer
be
eating, reindeer eating camels is not cannibalism.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he might be a cannibal, referencing the Donner Party. It would have been hilarious if I'd gotten that out on the first try.
I think it was pretty funny the way it came out anyway.
Yeah.
A little punchy.
These are from Bud K, which also has the added benefit of then you get on their mailing list for their monthly catalogs, which.
And you never, ever get off them. I ordered something once.
It's like herpes.
I think it was like in the early thousands, and I'm still getting their catalogs like 15 years later. I haven't ordered anything since.
That's actually the real reason we moved out of New York. Get off their mailing list. Okay, on to something slightly more tasteful for the Doctor Who fans in the audience. You can also get... Oh, that one's currently unavailable. Wrong one. You can also get a blown glass adipose ornament, if you remember the David Tennant episode.
Oh God, and that would adorable. So traumatize Ponya. The adipose just completely traumatize her.
Yes, actually, it was the first episode where Donna was a full companion and not just one in a special.
But you can get that as a separate element, but they also have it as a set. Where did that wind up? It got scrolled so far out. There it is. They also have it with the Doctor Who mini ornament set, which is four pieces, which is a Cyberman, a Dalek, an Oedipus, and a Weeping Angel. I personally would not feel comfortable bringing a Weeping Angel into my house, but you know, your mileage may vary.
There's all sorts of cool Doctor Who things by this guy. They've got Kurt Adler. They've got the primary colored Daleks. They've got the 12th Doctor and his sonic screwdriver. There's a TARDIS with the wreath on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It is a lot of nice stuff.
Yeah. And the prices are what I would consider to be reasonable.
I thought so, too. That's why I was tossing them out there, because you know, for something that appears to be as nice, and the reviews on some of them look quite good, others just don't have reviews, or very few.
Speaking of reasonable prices, Blade HQ right now... they've got a number of Spyderco knives that are on clearance because they've been discontinued. And also, they've actually put together some pairings where it's like, yes, here are two Spyderco knives that have been discontinued.
Pairing knives?
What's that?
They're pairing knives.
Yes. Yes, I went there.
These are the jokes.
I'm not sure they are.
But on Black Friday, I bought a couple knives that were so bundled together that normally they would have the two of them would have ended up costing me close to $400. And I ended up spending, I think it was $140 for the two of them. Which, yes, Aaron, I am aware that is still $70 a knife. It is still a lot of money for a knife for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And hold on a second. I believe Ponya just locked herself out of the house.
But with Oddball, $70 is not a lot for a knife, but it is, in fact, a lot of money for a gun.
Shots fired!
Not with some of them.
And he's probably away from his computer, so he didn't hear it. We'll have to see if he listens to like 7-hour episode.
I just wanted to mention one more gift idea is your old time bookstore, just youroldtimebookstore.com. It was the property of the Lindsay family for a number of years, Lindsay Publications, and they did all sorts of reprints of cool old mostly technical books. And he sold out to some of the employees, and they're looking to actually get out of the business. So they're having these amazing sales on these just really cool old books. They're quality reprints. So nice. if that's something that you're interested in, I would definitely say take a look. I'm sure you'll find something, if not for yourself, then for people you know.
And something that is significantly less expensive and actually worthwhile. I put up a link to the Roe v. Vaughn XP-G3S5 blah blah blah.
Thank you for the blah blah blah.
That's a keychain flashlight. It's a USB. It uses a micro USB cable to recharge, and is seriously. It advertises 550 lumens, and I have one, and I believe it. And it is small enough to fit on your keychain.
Hi, Panya.
A Panya enters.
Suddenly, a wild Panya appears.
The oddball uses cat. It's very effective. All right, guys. Well, I think I want to put a cork in this one because, boy, we've been going for a while, and I'm tired.
Okay.
Let's thank the patrons. Thank you all to the Patreon patrons for your continued support of the Assorted Calibers podcast and just enjoying the bonus stuff. And for those that aren't on there, the bonus stuff, we got blooper reels. We got mag dumps. We have got film tracks. And also, you get this stuff a couple days early, which is nice. If you want it a little bit early, it's a bonus.
And for people who refuse to use Patreon, I'm working on setting up a Subscribestar account. And I ran into a little bit of a slowdown because Weird had to approve some stuff. And then I got distracted with Christmas. But we hope to have it up by the new year. So that way you can get subscriber benefits without having to go through Patreon. So hooray nice. For diversified options.
And also just if you haven't heard any of the blooper reels past the first like three, a good portion of the blooper reels are more of us telling stories and random stuff that is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Yes. And so, that was the dulcet tones of Oddball.
Have a good one, folks.
And can we get a shout out from Panya? Is she still around?
Hey, Panya, say good night.
Good night, everybody.
Did you guys actually hear that?
Yes,
faintly but good.
It sounded like come on, see me.
And that was the dulcet tones of the big deal, Aaron Paulette.
Yes. Good night, America, wherever you are.
And of course, never to be upstaged, the ever-lovely David.
Remember, Gun Jesus also likes a nice glass of scotch.
He does. He does. And of course, I am Weird Beard, and this has been a good time, and we will see you next time. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.